Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon. I got Kyle with me today, no Brett, but
I'm still listed first. I two sessions in a row. I love it.
Yes, you get to be listed first because Brett's not here. Instead of Brett, we get his brother. So for the first time, we've been waiting for him to come on for almost a year probably.
Yes.
So we finally get a chance to hear from Dylan Hirata. Welcome to the show, Dylan.
Hello. I'm glad to be here filling in for Brett, I guess. But it's been a long time coming to be on this podcast. I'm excited.
Well, he is sitting in the Brett chair.
I was just going to say, maybe we have to rename it the Hirata chair.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine with me.
All right. So Dylan, most first-time guests, we like to talk and ask the question, what has God been highlighting to you recently? So what's God been showing you?
I think a big thing that God has been showing me recently in a lot of ways is how serious do I take my faith? And that's come into play with like my friends, how I live my life, relationships, all sorts of things. And it's been kind of like that question in my mind of how serious do I take it? And like, what extent am I willing to go for my faith? And then I feel like God has put examples in my life of, okay, you were asking that question, let's see you live it out, and like testing me in that. And so yeah, I feel that that's been a big thing going on right now, and it's been good and stretching and growing, but just a lot of stuff been happening, and yeah, God's been definitely using all those things to test my faith in a good way.
Well, I mean, I think that fits with where we're going, but I'm going to ask you a follow-up question anyways. But is there one example that you could share with our listeners?
I would say one is with relationship that I have, how willing am I to make sacrifices for my faith versus making sacrifices like for myself or like doing things to gain for myself versus, maybe I don't want to do this, but this will grow my faith or this will help me in my own walk. And how far am I willing to go for that? And yeah, being able to make sacrifices, not only just, I guess, in relationships, but just in life too, of being able to handle responsibilities on my own. Like, you know, there's certain things that I want to do and want to be able to watch TV and yeah, watch the Dodgers and whatever, but sometimes it's like, okay, well, I got to go take care of certain things, or I got to put down the remote and go read my Bible or go pray, or even if it's like, oh, I'm really tired, I don't want to do this.
Speaking of the Dodgers, Kyle said that we need to mark that today is Thursday, September 19th, and it is a day in history where Shohei Ohtani hit his 51st home run and stole his 51st base to become the first player in history to have a 50-50 season.
Yes.
Historic day for sure. Go Dodgers.
He did it the day after my birthday, so I can always remember it.
But he did it on Jonathan Poon's birthday, so that will be something for him to remember forever, that his 41st birthday was marked by Shohei Ohtani.
Wow, throwing out his birth date and everything, his age. I love it.
Well, he is my brother-in-law. We said family is on the table.
There you go.
All right, I guess in that case, shout out to my mom. It's her birthday too.
We won't say how old she is.
Yeah, actually, you might get in trouble for that one.
Yeah, that one I'll keep quiet, but happy
we'll
birthday,
Mom.
Just
say she's 31.
There you go.
Happy birthday, Mom.
Yeah, so I mean, that actually leads into this episode, right? Because we're going to, basically, it sounds like you're learning how to adult, right? Adulting and learning how to mature in different ways and grow up. And it's a lot like Pastor Barry's message from this Sunday.
Yeah, so Pastor Barry this past Sunday gave a sermon about how, as a church, we just turned 18.
Yeah,
we just celebrated our 18th birthday as a church.
Yep.
And that was, what, September
10th? 10th.
It was a Tuesday, so 10th, the 10th.
Yeah, 10th.
So September 10th was Catalyst's 18th birthday. And so now that we're 18, it seems like the Lord has been showing us different ways that we are in a new season, kind of an adult season for our church. Mm-hmm. And one of those regards moving out of the old house and moving into the new house. So, Kyle, you want to give us an update?
Oh, you mean the facility update?
Maybe.
You still haven't signed.
So that's part of why we needed to mark today as Thursday, because it could come any day now.
Yeah, it. I thought it might happen today. It might be tomorrow. It's just there's one thing we're waiting on, and it could happen any day. So stay tuned.
As an adult church, we finally get our own place.
That's exciting. 18 years. It's kind of crazy to think about.
Moving out.
So, you know, kind of speaking on that, Dylan, you've been in a season where you've had to make some adulting shifts in your life, you know, as your parents have both moved out and you're now the caretaker for your home and just this new season. So what are some of the things that the Lord's been speaking to you about adulting and in this new season that you've been learning?
Yeah, so this journey actually has been going on for a while. My parents have had the opportunity to move to multiple places out of Southern California. So we kind of joke in the family that our family did opposite, where the kids are supposed to move out first at an earlier age, and then the parents stay at the house. But it was the opposite, where the parents moved when we were younger, or not super young, but yeah. And so I think definitely learning about responsibility. One thing that I kind of joked with some friends that I had was like, oh, like seeing my friends live in apartments by themselves and understanding, and even cousins like living in apartments and knowing what that takes. And I'm not complaining one bit at all, but like taking care of a house is a whole different experience. And it's a blessing for sure. And I tell my parents all the time that, you know, I'm not complaining about anything, having to take care of anything. And they're always shocked about, wow, he's already taking care of this and this and this. And I'm like, well, I'm just blessed to have a roof over my head. But it's definitely been stretching in growing my capacity of responsibility. And kind of like, if things don't get done, then it falls on me. And then also it doesn't get taken care of. And so I can't just wait around for dinner to get cooked. I can't wait around for laundry to get washed, or I can't wait around, you know, I'll get a notice on my door about the grass being too tall from the city, or, you know, whatever it is. And yeah. Just learning responsibility in that capacity, but also now having to balance all of those responsibilities with like my social life, but then ultimately with my spiritual life. And that's been the big part, yeah, for me.
Yeah, I think that's a good segue into what one of the main points that Pastor Barry made in this past sermon was that as an adult, a couple of the things that you learn is that you have to be responsible for yourself, and then you have to be responsible for others, right? And so in your season, that's one of the things that God's been teaching you, is just what it looks like to be responsible for yourself, because living in your parents' house, a lot of times they've been taking the responsibility for you.
Definitely, definitely.
I got a thought percolating, but it's not there yet. So keep going, Damon.
Yeah. So, you know, I've shared this before that my son, Dylan, who we actually, you know, funny story, we did ask Dylan Harada's parents for permission to name our son Dylan before we named him that.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know that. That's really cool.
We did. We asked them if it was okay to name our son Dylan. And then Brett got mad because he's like, what about Brett? Why do you want to name him Dylan? Why not Brett?
That is something Brett would say, I think.
But too bad that Tracy has a brother named Brett, so we couldn't have another Brett.
That's too bad.
So Brett gave us his blessing after that, because he was like, yeah, that would be too confusing, two Bretts. So, but now we have two Codas, so I mean, I guess it would have been okay. and I lost my... Okay, so Dylan isn't my Dylan. Is in this new season, right? He just turned 13 this year. He's in this new season of no longer a child, but he's in this journey to learning what it means for him to be a man and what kind of man God made him to be. And so it's really cool, just some of the things that the Lord has put in front of us, like going on our trip to Africa, where we got a chance to go as father and son, and Kyle got to go with his son, and actually Dylan got a chance to go with his dad too. And I feel like that was one of the markers for my son in his journey to becoming an adult. And that was one of the things that after our trip, Dylan Harada had said that he would want to talk about. So Dylan, is there anything from your trip to Africa with your dad that you would want to share that has helped you in this journey and this process too?
One big thing for me definitely was seeing my dad step out in faith. our trip to Africa was with Pastor Barry and another guy at our church. And so the four of us, we went on some crazy adventures that I feel super blessed to go on, but it was pretty wild. And through all of that, I think kind of looking towards my dad and being like, okay, well, one, I guess also my dad too in following God, but also my earthly father being able to follow his lead and being able to say like, okay, well, if you feel comfortable with this and you feel spiritually led to step into whatever ministry we're doing there, I feel comfortable enough to follow you. And he kind of was able to lead in that way and also be able to reflect with me and say like, well, how do you feel about this? And trusted me and my discernment. And so part of that is just being able to follow his example of how he lived his life, but then also on that trip, how he was able to handle his business and how he was able to lean on God in that, kind of like help grow me in that and being able to see it, for example, like right in front of me.
Yeah, on that trip, you were early 20s?
Yeah, I believe so. I think it was back in 2014.
Okay.
Because I'm
hearing your story, and then I'm knowing my son was 15, Dylan was 13, on Dylan Gohata.
My Dylan.
Was 13. But just seeing even the difference in that, like, there were certain things as Eli's dad that I let him step into certain things or gave him the choice, but there were certain ones where I felt he wouldn't step in on his own, but he was capable. And so I said, I think you need to do this, and almost making the choice for him versus, I mean, when you're doing it, like you're an adult already, you're in your 20s, it's a little different. So just kind of seeing the thing of maturing, like when you're really young, you need somebody to walk you through. You need somebody to actually either hold your hand and do it, and then you need to have them push you into doing it. And then by the time you get a little more mature, then you can do it yourself. And just kind of thinking how that parallels with our spiritual lives. Like when we are young in our faith, we need somebody to help and come alongside us and do things. But by the time we get more mature, then we're actually able to do it on our own or even take people with us. I mean, have you seen that for yourself, Dylan, as you've matured in your faith?
Well, I think first, just speaking on like your guys' sons and going and stuff like that, yeah, I was definitely older, and so it was a different life stage. You know, mm-hmm. I think I was like 19 or, 20. But part of it too was my dad telling me like, hey, if you want to go on this trip, like before when mm-hmm. we were praying about going on the trip, mm-hmm. so not even like going yet, mm-hmm. he brought it up to me, hey, this is the trip, these are all details. And then he's like, I want you to pray about it. So I prayed and we talked about it later. And he told me like, hey, if you're going on this trip, like you have to step into this. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the responsibility of, if you're going to want to be an adult and step into that, you're responsible for yourself kind of in a way. I will be there for you, but like you're making the decision to go on this trip. And so whatever we end up doing, like you're going to have to discern, is this what I want to step into or not? Mm-hmm. And part of my thinking was, after praying about it, like, all right, God, if you're bringing me all the way to Africa, you know, on a 17-hour flight to Dubai and then another 6-hour flight to Kenya and then another 6-hour flight to Mozambique and then back to Kenya. And if you're going to bring me all the way over there, I want to do your work. I don't want to be over there and take things off. And so I was pretty open to saying yes to everything the Lord had for me or what they had for our team.
I think it's pretty cool hearing you talk about it and hearing kind of how vivid some of those memories of what your dad told you. I mean, something that was over 10 years ago or around 10 years ago, and you're talking about it as if it was, you know, earlier this year or last year. So it's cool to see how the Lord has helped you to remember that season of your life and the impact that trip made on you and the ways that your dad and you going together, that's something that brought you guys together that was such a good memory for you. I feel like that's pretty cool to see that it was, even though it was so long ago, it still seems pretty clear in your mind.
Yeah. I mean, I still remember to this day, like you were saying, that where I was standing when he asked me. Mm-hmm. I've been wanting, my parents went to Africa before, and actually with you, Kyle, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, I was so amazed in their willingness to go on that first trip. And I remember telling them, I want to go. So next time you go, I want to go with you. And I was young and probably overly ambitious, but, like, eventually when I became of age, the opportunity came. And so I was like, all right, God, if is this still what you have for me? And I was ready to go. But definitely a growing experience.
I know that when you and your dad came to share with our team as we were prepping to go, I know that really impacted my son Dylan in his understanding of what the trip was going to be like, but then also preparing him for, you know, some of the ways that the trip could go not according to plan, or, you know, one of the things that you shared about was some of the different types of food that you guys had to eat.
Yes.
That were very interesting. And so I think it was cool for me. That was one of the cool things for me to experience with my son, is that he was a lot more adventurous with the food and the things that he would try than he would normally be at home. And I think part of it was because in his mind, he's like, well, at least this is not what they had to eat.
Yeah, it was cool to hear different stories from all your whole team about everybody's personal experiences, but then also being able to witness each other, like, oh, it was really cool to see so-and-so do this or step out in this way. And yeah, talking to you, Damon, about it too, and being able to hear about how Dylan was very appreciative of foods that I think normally it wouldn't even cross our minds, right? But yeah, I mean, a trip to Africa would definitely do that to you, and it was awesome. Yeah.
I mean, so I was just thinking about this whole idea of growing up and maturing. And I think it's interesting that physically our bodies just do it, right? It's just part of nature. Things can stunt it sometimes, or things can speed it up. But really our bodies are just going to mature at a certain pace. But it's interesting how our spiritual lives are not like that. Like, they can be on a path, but we have more control of, like, no, I'm going to feed it and I'm going to grow my body, or I'm not. And it made me think of in 1 Corinthians, and Paul writes in chapter 3, he's writing to the church there, and he says, but brothers, I could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you're not ready for it, for you are still of the flesh. And I'm like, how much... I don't know. I know God doesn't get frustrated, but, like, how much frustration does God have, or do I envision God having on our lack of pursuing our maturity? And I know he's gracious, but like there's been times where I look back and I'm like, man, I would say in a sense I wasted 6 months or a year because I didn't really mature and grow. I mean, in some ways, maybe I didn't go backwards, so that's a good thing. But, you know, there's so much more that we could do and we could pursue with our maturity. And it's not from a striving perspective. But how do you guys see that balance, or that need for us to pursue our spiritual maturity? Because, I mean, for you, Dylan, you actually kind of were sharing that when you're your intro, like what's God highlighting to you, you're kind of in that place where he's challenging you. It sounds like in a lot of different areas in maturing, right?
Yeah. I think there's an aspect to it of the willingness to take a step. I think realizing a lot of maturing, you know, as I've been growing up, a lot of maturing is not necessarily the action of everything that you're doing. Like, the tasks aren't itself things that you weren't capable of before, but realizing the action of actually doing it is where the maturing is, right?
So you're saying it's more of your will?
Yeah. Or, I mean, it could be your own, but, or what you're led in. But, like, for example, just in how I've been, you know, in a different journey now, it's not like, for example, the dishes or the laundry or mowing the lawn is things that I wasn't capable of doing 10 years ago, 15 years ago. Like, I definitely could be doing it, but how I attack it, how I go out and do it, and how I execute these tasks is different because I'm coming from a more mature standpoint of understanding what needs to be done. And so, like, in regards to faith, I feel like part of it is maybe not understanding like the path to how we grow, right? But understanding the importance of reading the Bible and the importance of setting aside time to pray and to listen to God, setting aside time to journal and to, you know, whatever it is, listen to worship music. Those are things we could obviously have done early in our lives, but I think as I'm growing, I'm learning that the importance and just the willingness to go and step and do those things.
Yeah, it seems like those things that you were just mentioning, they're household chores. It's like you had the physical capability or the ability to do it, but it wasn't out of necessity, right? And so then it became a necessity. You have to do it. But sometimes in our, I think oftentimes in our spiritual life, we don't see feeding our spirit as a necessity. It's just like, I'll do it if I, it's more of a luxury, or I don't really need to do it. But is that kind of what you're relating to?
Yeah, definitely. I think part of that too is like seeing it, right? Mm-hmm. When I was younger, I didn't see the need of, I need to read my Bible all the time, even though people were telling me, or I need to pray all the time. I need to learn how to be quiet with the Lord and spend time with Him. But seeing it now, definitely, and how it's played out in my life, and the importance of being in His Word, importance of praying every day, all these things that are fairly simple and things that we've been told most of our lives, right? Mm-hmm. But it's being able to see the significance of it, I think, is big.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's one area where the culture that we live in is actually can be detrimental to our spiritual growth, mm-hmm. right? Because relatively, things come easy for us, right? It's not a necessity for us to, you know, we're not super hungry all the time. We're not we just live in a culture where a lot of things are very comfortable for most of us. Mm-hmm. So because of that, there's a lot of areas where we can get by on our own in walking in our flesh. And so that's in contrast to some of the people like in Jesus' time, where in order for them to flourish, they needed to be spiritually mature. They needed to grow because there was the circumstances surrounding their lifestyle is so different, right? Like they're being oppressed or they're hungry. And, you know, in the book of Acts, it says, you know, people were selling stuff so that they could, have enough food for everyone to eat and to share with each other so that no one was in need, because there were people that were in need. And so they needed to do that in order to provide for the community. And so for a lot of us, it's been very easy. And so because of that, we haven't had the need to necessarily grow because we're just comfortable with things the way that they are. And so kind of like you, Dylan, it was like, oh, things are comfortable. And then when your parents leave, it's like, oh, shoot, I need to take care of this stuff, right? And so I think that's one of the things that like we need to be aware of, is that we don't want to be in that place where it becomes a necessity, right? Where it's like something really bad happens and then it's like, oh shoot, I wish I had a stronger faith in this moment. Or I wish I had taken that time to be intentional about whether it's reading my Bible or hearing from the Lord or those types of things. Like it's actually better for us to do that now when things are comfortable so that we can develop that, so that if something does happen, then we're able to respond in a different way, in a healthy way, in a way that, you know, we don't go to the depths of the darkest places just because our relationship with the Lord is strong. Mm-hmm. You know, I heard this story from, we've been talking about Jamie Winship a lot on this podcast, but one of the stories that he shared was like this guy that kind of was a newer believer, and he felt so compelled because Jesus had made such an impact on his life that he wanted to go share with his friends and family who are Muslim. Mm-hmm. Because this guy's grew up in the Middle East and his family's Muslim, and Jesus changed his life, so he wanted to go share with them. So he goes back to his tribe, and you know, he gets warned by his uncle, like, don't do that, they're going to hurt you or something's going to happen. And then he just shares his faith, and then he gets shot. And then later he comes back and he tells people, I don't think they understood what I was saying. I need to go back and I need to show them that I forgive them, and I need to show them what this is all about. And people are like, are you crazy? Like, they shot you last time, right? But his faith and his relationship with the Lord was so strong that he said, no, I need to go show them that what I was talking about is real, right? And then so then he ends up going back, and you'll have to listen to the podcast to find out what happens later. But but just to say, like, for a lot of us, if we were to step into something like that, an evangelistic opportunity, something where we felt like maybe the Lord is calling us to do, and it doesn't turn out well, how would we respond, right? Like, this guy, his faith was so strong that he responded, no, they just didn't understand what I was saying. I need to go back and make sure that they understand what I was saying, right? And it's like, wow, that takes such a strong relationship with the Lord in order to do that. And so I guess kind of all that to say is, like, we don't want to be put in that situation where something happens to us and we're like, man, I wish I was more mature in my faith. So use this time to be intentional about how we're growing, how we're walking in our relationship with the Lord, so that when those times come, we're able to be victorious in that situation.
Yeah, I think that's good. That kind of reminds me of actually a testimony that in Africa, this guy from the tribe was sharing with us about how, I don't know exactly what religion or what they followed before, but it was like against Christianity. And so he became a believer and the Lord spoke to him. And so he followed and he's tried to preach to his brother and his family. And then they told him that he was wrong. And the brother was like, you're so wrong that actually I'm going to like hunt you down. And so then he got hunted down and he left for I don't know how many years, but we asked him like, so did your brother ever get saved? And he said, yeah, because he kept praying that he's like, even if my brother comes to hunt me down and he finds me, that my duty is to bring him to the Lord. Mm. And so it was like, I'm going to run and flee for my safety, but I'm not going to stop because this is my calling for the Lord. And it was like, oh, well, that's like a different level of connection with the Lord, of like feeling like this is his obligation, his duty, and he's going to follow it, even risking his life.
That's powerful. I mean, when you were sharing, Damon, it made me think of when things are going well, it's easy to just be like, yeah, I'm good. Like, I don't need to put that much into my faith or to mature and to build my foundation better. And then when things are bad, it's like panic mode and God, I just need to get through this. Help me through this. But then once the pressure gets taken off again, it's like, oh, I'm doing okay again. And it's easy to fall in that pattern. I think because of our society and when things are good, it's pretty good. It's pretty easy. We can be self-reliant and we can handle most situations. But I think it's really a sign of maturity when you can do that when things are going good. And you can actually be like, even though in a fleshly sense, I don't need God right now. It's like, you know, inside I need more of God because I don't want to know that the next difficult thing is coming and I have a gap in between me and him.
Mm. Yeah, I think personally, actually, so this is something that Brett kind of has taught me in the last year. That kind of reminded me of what you're sharing about, of like the highs and lows of life and how life grows at the valleys of your life, but then at the peaks, that's where we're all chasing after, but that's actually where no life is. But that doesn't mean that, like, in both situations, whether on the lowest lows or highest highs, that it doesn't mean that you shouldn't be like chasing after Christ. And so in both, you need Christ, right? And so in your lowest lows, you need God and to have a relationship with him in your lowest lows to be able to spring life out of you. And then in your highest highs, when you're up there on the peak and the mountaintop, you also need Christ there too to be able to help you survive there. So
that was a major shout out and props to Brett. Would that have been hard to do if he was sitting here?
No, I tell him all the time. I owe him so much in life and God has blessed me for sure with an older brother that's willing to go there with me about serious topics, willing to share faith and yeah.
I was going to go that direction next with your guys' small group because I feel like you guys, it's your age group, like the young adults, not young adults, but you guys are getting up there a little
bit. Shout out to our small group. Yeah. Let's keep the young in there.
We'll keep one young in there.
Yeah,
not young.
Yeah.
But it feels like I've heard a little bit of what you guys are doing, and it's a shift into this, like, hey, what are we doing? Are we gonna take it serious? Are we gonna actually push in? So I wanted to get your input. I've heard it from Brett a little bit, but I wanted to hear from you on the other side of it. How is that received, and is that like a calling up for you? Like, hey, we got to rise up.
Yeah, I think.
Or maybe you can share a little bit about just like what you guys are going through, or maybe even some of the challenges Brett shared with you guys.
Yeah, so our small group, we are going through Hearing from God series, kind of, that the classes recently have been taken, and they're going to start up again.
Yeah.
And so we're learning, I don't know exactly how one-to-one the curriculum is from what the class was to what our small group is going, because I didn't take the class, but yeah, Brett spoke to our small group about, hey, we are the next generation up. Our time is going by quick, like we're growing up fast. And so part of it is answering the call. Are we willing to step up? Because we're all capable. It's just, are we going to actually take that step? And it was received, I think, very well. I mean, the small group kind of reflects it. And we had actually our first meeting last week or sometime and recently, and it was good. I feel that everyone is taking it very serious. Not that we weren't before. I don't want to put that out there. But
well, probably on some levels you weren't. It sounds like it's gotten to a different seriousness.
Yeah, I think it's individually we're taking it serious, but also for the sake of our small group of understanding that, like, I'm going to be there for myself to grow, but also me being there is providing a safe place for someone else to grow too, right? And wanting everyone in our small group to grow and be able to lean on each other and allow God to use each of us to grow each other. And so it's cool. And our group has expanded too. And so part of that, I think, has, I guess, kicked in some seriousness of like, oh, there's these
young.
Yeah. At the two youngs, right? The young adults have joined. And so,
well, they're hungry right now.
Yeah.
So.
And so that's been good, and I love having them there, and it's such a perspective shift of just what they bring, and yeah, again, it's been amazing, so.
Yeah, I think kind of that really falls in line with the second part of Pastor Barry's message where, you know, the other part of adulting isn't just taking responsibility for yourself, but it's also taking responsibility for other people, right? And so with your small group, like you said, you guys are doing it for yourselves, but you're also doing it for each other, right? And so you're able to help walk with someone else when they're going through a difficult time. You're helping to mentor the youngs. You're helping to, you know, just provide a place where people can share and be open and be vulnerable, and also to help them to hear the Lord too. Because sometimes we need affirmation and confirmation that the Lord is speaking to us, right? So in this season, it is about the individual saying, I'm going to be responsible for my own faith, but it's also saying, hey, I'm going to help walk with these other people too in their journey so that they can help to grow. And in the same way, they're walking with me to help me grow. So it actually accelerates everyone's growth.
I agree.
I mean, I think one thing the young adults in our group, another thing that was shared in our small group, and, you know, I'm not sharing anything that's like super personal or whatever, but this is just like the basics of it's understanding that while we are possibly in, you know, I won't say our age groups, but we look at it as a small group as we can provide things that maybe life experience that they don't have, but they also can provide things that we don't have. And so in that, like, kind of what you're saying, Damon, like we're able to help them walk with Christ, and then in that they're helping us walk with Christ too, right? And so it's kind of like a give and take, and
I think that's one of the cool things about being a part of the body of Christ is that there's such diversity that there's things that I can bring to the table, and there's things that other people bring to the table that are different than what I bring. And so when we walk together, there's like this more robust picture of who the Lord is, because we need each other, because we bring different things in. you know, where the world tries to point to you have to walk with people that are the same as you. You have to walk with people that are, you know, have the same interests, have the same likes, have the same strengths. And then you just get this very one-dimensional group of people. Mm-hmm. But I think that's one of the cool things about being part of the body of Christ. And, you know, I think this is reflected in our church and in some of the small groups. And then even in our trip to Africa, it's just, wow, the diversity and the creativity that the Lord has in his body is so amazing. And it's so cool because it's Jesus that brings us all together so that we can walk together and we can complement each other. Not the way that you're complimenting your brother, in the other sense of, you know, that there are areas that each of us have that are strengths and each areas that are weaknesses. And so my weakness might be Kyle's strength, which he does have a lot of administrative strengths that I don't have. but when we are able to walk together, we're able to see a broader picture of who God is, and we're able to work together well, and we're able to, you know, just be able to do things in a different way than we could if we were doing it on our own.
Yeah, I think for me, just one last thought I have on this subject is I hear people sometimes shy away from helping other people mature because they say like, I'm not that mature yet. Like I can't help somebody in their spiritual growth. And for one thing, I say, well, why not? And then what's holding you back? So then if something's holding you back, then deal with it. So because you should be helping somebody. Yeah. I want somebody to help my kids mature. I have that role as a parent, but other people need to have that aspect in their maturity. And then I want my kids to do the same thing. I want that to be like, that's part of the expectation of us being the family of God, like you were saying, is we help each other grow. And so some of it is like you were saying, Dylan, is just life stages. Like even meeting with people that are younger in a different life stage, you bring wisdom and bring things that way, which you can bring in different spiritual aspects as well. But it's a call out to us as believers, like, hey, we should be maturing where we can help a younger Christian in their faith, and that we should be looking for opportunities to do that.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, that's amazing. And then, yeah, being able to look towards, I think for me, a big thing, look towards older people, right? In the same way that I'm looking to see, okay, who can I pour into and also learn from that's younger, like you were saying, but also like, yeah, I have a discipler, right? In being able to follow his lead and being able to learn from him, ask him for wisdom and different things like that. And so it's just like the cycle of...
Yeah, both directions. Look upwards and then look downward.
Yeah.
Like, where can I pour into somebody? Where can I have somebody pour into me?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that I think for my generation has been more difficult is recognizing and honoring the generations that have come before. I think one of the values for my age group has always been like, we got to try things on our own. We got to do it ourselves. And I feel like that has been something that we need to reclaim is recognizing the people that have come before and learning from them and like honoring them. And just being able to see that they bring so much to the table. Cause I know that I've benefited so much from, just everyone. Like one person I always look to is your dad, Dylan, is I really feel like he's been a spiritual dad for me, and it's been really cool to just hear from him and get his, whether it's advice or just see the way that he walks and integrity and faith. And yeah, I feel like I've grown so much just from being around people that have done it before. And I think one of the things is just that culture of honor, is looking at them from and putting them in a place of honor. And then when we do that, we're able to receive.
I agree, Don. So I'm a little older than you. So so Don is like my big brother. So he's my spiritual big brother.
So Kyle, you're like my spiritual big brother too. So it's like...
Yeah, it's all steps, right? It's all, yeah.
Your dad has a great legacy of being open and vulnerable and helping others learn from his mistakes, but also learn from his successes. And yeah,
Awesome. Definitely. Yeah. Awesome. It's cool to see definitely his impact and how he lives out his faith and how he walks. Yeah.
Yeah, Dylan. So see, we can say people's names on this podcast as long as they're positive.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, shout out to my dad, I guess, too.
Because that was one of the questions that Dylan had is that do we have rules that we cannot say people's names?
I just want to make sure, hey.
Yeah, I respect that.
I just want to be safe and not get in trouble on this podcast episode. And
well, Damon's going to
record this whole thing.
Damon has a beep button, so he can beep. No, just kidding.
Record this whole episode.
Actually, maybe I do need to get a beep button.
Yeah, I didn't want
to. Actually, we haven't even had to use it in a long time, so.
I didn't want to record this whole episode and then find out that Damon's actually scratches this episode and says, oh, we can't use it, Dylan. Sorry.
I wouldn't do that. I would just edit out the parts that need to be edited out.
Okay, real quick. I know that normally you have a really good ending, Damon, and you always tie things in really well. Kyle likes to shout that out.
Yeah, I like to throw curveballs at the very end.
But before we get there.
Oh, Dylan's going to ask us a question.
I know. Oh.
Yeah, Well, both of you guys know that I look up to both of you guys, and there's a lot of wisdom, and it's cool that I've been able to actually teach both of or all of your kids so far in Sunday school. But what, I guess, Damon, you've already kind of shared some, but what wisdom or advice would you pass down to maybe someone of my generation or even younger?
Kyle, you can go first.
Oh, man, you beat me.
Put you on the spot.
No, he just likes throwing me under the bus. I've learned. I got to jump in right away and be like, Kyle, you
smart.
Go first.
The preemptive strike. I think the advice is you got to own your faith. You can't ride on the coattails of your parents or even your friends in your circle. And you got to put the work in. I mean, it's not works based, but it comes with effort. You gotta put time, and it's. I think the encouragement is when you put the time in with God, the rewards are awesome. It's not always easy, instantaneous like our culture likes to promote, but when you start seeing the insides transform, like you start feeling more peace. You're getting rid of anxious thoughts, you're getting rid of worries and doubts and different things like that that you had in the past, and it's like, oh, wow, this is such a better way of living. And, so I would just encourage for you and your age group, like, own it. Mm. Like your brother says, be about it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you say you're a Christian, and, well, what do you got to show for it, you know? Mm. And again, I know sometimes we get so overly sensitive of, yeah, but it's not about works. It's about grace. But it's like, yeah, but it says, like James says, you'll know by the things you do. You'll know your faith is active by the things you do, because it's gotta be evident. So, I'm seeing signs of your generation stepping into that, and just keep going.
For sure.
Was that long enough to give you time to think, Damon?
Yes.
Okay. Now I'm trying to make you lose your train of thought.
I know. Okay. So I think my advice to someone of your generation would be, I think there's two things. One is seek the Lord in who he made you to be. Mm. Right. So find out your identity in the Lord. And, you know, I think our church has done a really good job in helping us to understand the foundations of our identity. So I think that's a positive if we're able to do that. But then I think the next step is finding out who the Lord specifically made you to be, right? So who did God make Dylan Harada to be? Because there's only one Dylan Harada that's ever been born, and that's you. So who did God make you to be? So that's the first part. And then the second part is, in that journey, learn how to hear and discern the Lord's voice. So if you can do those things, I think that those will help you in your life, especially when times don't go the way that we want or the way that we expect, because then we can lean into our identity, into how do we get out of these situations, or how do we walk in these situations in living out who God made us to be, but then also hearing from the Lord, Like, what do you want me to know in this situation? And then what do you want me to do about it?
Mm.
And so if we're able to hear the Lord's voice, I feel like those things will really help us as we continue to mature, so that when those times do come, we're able to walk away victorious.
Wow, so much wisdom. Definitely. Yeah.
Did that live up to what your expectation was?
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. Anytime you guys speak, I listen. Yeah. But
I think one thing to add on that is, I think your generation has a challenge of living from a biblical worldview that my generation hasn't had as much, because I think it's been stripped away, like, generation after generation. And so I think your generation has had to fight to live in a biblical worldview a lot more than previous generations.
Mm.
And so I think even just to recognize that it is hard and it is a struggle, because you guys haven't grown up with that just kind of being poured into you, that you guys got to fight for that. And you got to fight for that with your friend groups, with your coworkers. I mean, just, you got to learn how to make that more prevalent in your life.
Do you think that it wasn't poured into them, or do you think that it's just because of the abundance of other sources of information that it's can get watered down, or can get,
yeah, I think it could be that,
bombarded by so many other voices out there?
I think our culture is stripping that, the importance and the significance of that, away. So I think it's both. I think it's maybe because of the abundance of all that, there's more distractions, which make it get stripped away easier. But I think it's purposefully, we said the Pledge of Allegiance to, in classes, and we could pray in class. I mean, there's different things that are just been stripped away. The Ten Commandments can't be posted places. I mean, more and more, just more of God being taken away in a biblical worldview, and even making it like you shouldn't have those things. Like, that's the messaging. And so I think to recognize that what's going on, and then to be able to be like, no, I need to stand for this kind of stuff. I need to live from God's viewpoint.
I'm wondering if I should share a story before we end. Should I share the story about school? Or should we wait for another episode?
We can wait for another one, I think.
All right, you guys will just have to wait for
another
one.
Oh, what a tease.
A tease. No, it's good. I don't think it's for this one, but I think, yeah.
Well, okay, so before we close, I just on that, I think sometimes when we talk about things like that, where it's like the world is trying to take away our biblical worldview, or sometimes I think we can leave feeling like down, like, oh man, there's so many forces that are coming against me. How can we be victorious in this time? But I think, and that's why I was asking if we should share the story, because I think it is an example of being victorious in this, in a way, but by doing things a little differently than we might have expected. But that'll be for another time. But I don't want us to leave feeling like, yeah, the world is against us and we can't win, because Jesus wins, right? And so we want to come at it as, in this world, being on Jesus' side and walking with him, he wins. So we're on the winning side.
Amen.
Yeah, that's truth right there. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think it's, and to tie in with that, it's that balance of, yeah, not getting ourselves run down or discouraged, yet also not being naive and not realizing we're in a battle. So it's, yeah, we're in a battle, but like Jesus said, take heart, I've overcome the world. Like, we're going to have struggles, but I've overcome it. So.
Mm. So good. Yeah.
Oh, man. We need Brett here to balance out. He's given us too much.
Yeah, Dylan's given us too much props on this whole thing.
No, I'm just...
I appreciate it.
I'm just being authentic. It's real. I think not enough there's, like, younger people taking time to listen to what anybody, in a generation above us, doesn't matter what generation, just listening to what they have to say and then being able to seek wisdom in what they say. And, yeah, I've already told both of you guys how much of, like, when you guys share, I've grown so much. And so I'm just... Yeah, trying not to get caught up in, like, listening to you guys and realizing, like, okay, I'm on the episode too, but yeah.
Take it and apply it. That's the big thing.
For sure.
All right, so I think it's time that we can wrap up this episode.
Yeah, but it's good to have you on finally. Yeah, I mean, it was like a scheduling, juggling, you know, match, but it's good. We finally got it to happen, and it was a great episode.
Yeah, I mean, I remember talking to Damon and Brett about it before the podcast even started, and about like, oh, I want to be on eventually, and I don't even know how long that was, but it's good to be on for sure, and maybe I'll have to.
I think you'll have to come back on in the future.
And we are recording at a different time than usual. So if there's others that think, oh, I can't come on, we're recording after work hours. So we will be
flexible.
If you want to be on, we'll find a way to get your voice on here.
Oh, no, definitely. If anyone that wants to be on it, it doesn't matter. They will find a way to make it happen. And they've been gracious.
Damon will do it in the middle of the night. No problem. I'll be sleeping, but Damon will host.
Yeah, don't ask me to be on that episode.
I don't know about the middle of the night, but maybe early in the morning, like maybe 4 o'clock in the morning.
We're not doing that episode for me. No, that doesn't work.
Oh, man.
All right, so Dylan, do you have anything you'd like to leave our listeners with before we sign off?
No, I think everything that's been said here has been good. I think continue to grow, I think a big thing for maturity is like, realizing that there is no stopping in your growth. Mm-hmm. And then that's huge, right? Because then that enables you to continue to push on and go deeper. But everything you guys have shared has been so good. So
another big thing is accountability. So we want to have you back on, and we want to hear how your journey is continuing and these challenges God's given you. So,
oh yeah, definitely. Maybe we'll go into more depth about the different challenges as I experience them more and kind of see them out. But I'm definitely down to come back and be able to share. Gotta challenge Trisha for her title, I guess. I don't know if that's still going on, but
she got mad at us last time. She's like, stop doing that.
For sure.
Well, I think it's because now Christian is trying to take her title.
I also though want to be on episode while Brett is on.
Yes.
So that, in a way, is a call out to Brett.
Well, you scared you scared him away today. That's all I'm saying.
I know that he told me that he wished he could be here, next time for sure.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that.
So I think before we sign off, I think one last thing is, I think it's so cool how big our God is, right? And no matter how mature we get, there's still more room for us to grow in our relationship with Him. And I think that's where He's so different than any of the other things that people pursue, is that in the other things that people pursue, there's a limit to how close they can get. But with God, there's no limit. So we can continue, because He's so big and He's so, the word is, there's so much awe when it comes to the Lord, that we can continue to grow, and there's so much room for us to grow. So for each of us, whatever season you're in, there's room for you to grow in your relationship with the Lord, and He wants that. He wants more closeness, more intimacy with you. So it's up to us, because He's pursuing us, and we just need to turn and go towards Him. And there's plenty of room for us to grow. So thanks again, Dylan, for coming on. We appreciate you. Until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.